When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, welcome everyone to the From the Shadows podcast. I'm your host, Shane Grove. With me, as somewhat always, is Jason, the super producer.
Greetings, everyone.
I was going to say, Jason, that's a long, awkward pause there. Like, are you trying to build up excitement?
I was wondering if you really was it.
and joining us, blessing us with his presence, is the one and only the judge.
Hey, everybody.
Now, we have a really cool episode tonight that we're going to do. We've had these guys on before. I don't think we can have them on enough because they, when it comes to the world of cryptids and the paranormal, they are on the cutting edge of filmmakers, documentarians, right, Judge?
Absolutely.
So I'm just going to bring them on because they're so cutting edge. They're out in the field right now, already working on probably five projects down the road. Right, I would guess they got to be.
Yeah,
they're just amazing filmmakers. So
they're so good. They make Stacey Brown look like a rom com.
Oh, geez. Stacey Brown, what the fuck?
I don't.
Oh my gosh! Oh man, Stacey Brown is driving his Uber right now, listening to us. He's gonna be like, those cars. Oh, I can't. Hey, Stacey, remember, that was the judge that said that. So joining us is the Small Town Monsters crew, Death Breedlove, and the real super producer, sorry, Jason, Heather Mosier. How are you guys doing?
Good. We're good. We're making our way through the wilds of some sort of downtown New Jersey area.
Now, do you want to give everybody a little hint at why you're in New Jersey? I mean, if you know cryptids, you got to know why you guys are in New Jersey. But for those who aren't up to speed,
yeah, we're working on the documentary portion of our Jersey Devil movie, and we just finished filming our first interview, which was really super insightful, really fun. A guy named Brian Regal. And we are here. This is a quick trip. We're in and out in like 2 days. So there's a ton of work we got to do over the next like 48 hours. So we're in the midst of that. We're not in the midst of that. We're in the beginning stage of that.
So let me, I'm just going to ask you about that. So as a cryptid, what's your feeling about the Jersey Devil as you go into this?
I mean, I've always been a big fan of the Jersey Devil story. And I, again, like so many of these things, there's this weird, like, connection to my love of film. In this case, it's the Blair Witch Project, for some reason, is the movie that turned me on to the Jersey Devil. I don't know if it's just because they both share similar origin legends or what it is, but they're the Blair Witch Project was the first time I became aware of like the Jersey Devil as a creature, so it's kind of cool. I have a personal connection to it, but I mean, as far as like, do I believe there is a flesh and blood Jersey Devil flying around the Pine Barrens of New Jersey? I'm gonna go with a big fat probably not. But
That's probably fair.
I've only shot one interview so far, so just bear with me as I go.
Well, I mean, I'm in that camp too, because if the Jersey Devil was a flesh and blood creature, it would now be how many hundreds of years old? Which, if it was just a flesh and blood creature, it's going to age out. It's going to die.
Right.
And there's not two 100% of them. So how do they breed?
Yep.
Heather's 100%. You're 100% a believer. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, with that being said, if you asked me to creep around the Pine Barrens at night, the big fat no.
That's a big fat no.
Not doing it.
Heather, I just want to ask, did you let Seth know that you almost ruined the first interview of the
I Jersey? Didn't get a chance to explain that because we just packed up and got in the car and immediately called you.
You're on a very tight ship.
Yeah, you can save that for
an interview. That's what you meant. It wasn't me. It was Shane.
How did he do that?
I was keeping him updated so that they would know when we would be ready to talk. And I said that we were talking about Ben Franklin talking smack. And he said that Ben Franklin is a punk and should have never had any stores named after him. And I almost laughed out loud. And, yeah.
Ben Franklin was the greatest of the variety stores, though, by far.
Were you big into yarn and sewing?
No, dude, I'll tell you what I was big into was their giant candy aisle that had candy cigarettes. Like, the last place I bought candy cigarettes was at a Ben Franklin. And I got in big trouble because I was standing outside the IGA in Bolivar pretending to smoke one, or actually smoking one, or whatever you do. And my mom saw me. And I got busted.
And you know, if you got just the right candy cigarette, you could blow through the paper that was on it, and it looked like you'd get some smoke. Like
there's
some
a little dust.
Like the dust, and he gets some smoke.
I just want to point out that the phone broke up right when he said blow, and the delivery was incredible. So congratulations.
Thank you. Listen, it doesn't matter what the interview is I'm trying to sabotage. So,
let's talk some werewolves.
You want to talk? Okay, you want to talk some. So obviously the reason that we wanted to have you guys on, this is going to come out before your next big project that seems to, it's getting a lot of
traction,
a lot of people talking about it, some good reviews. Do you guys want to kind of tell the audience what's coming up and what they should be
expecting to see
and when they can see it and what's going to happen to them if they don't see it?
Oh, the worst things imaginable will happen if you don't watch it. You will be visited in the night by an angry werewolf. Yeah, no, it comes out July 5th is the official release date. It's called American Werewolves. It is a... I'm trying to think of how to describe it. So, my favorite thing about it is that it is very much like our first, well, not our first. It's weird. It, in a lot of ways, to me, it feels like it's some sort of like weird mutated sibling to Minerva Monster, because it's the first movie we've made since Minerva that doesn't have a narrator out of like 20 movies. So there's no narration in it. So it's got that in common. And then it's got just a real huge, heavy focus on the witness stories and our witnesses. And that was always, I think, intentional. We wanted to kind of get back to that style of storytelling and really put the focus back on the witnesses. And honestly, we've already done two werewolf quote unquote movies, Dogman movies with Skinwalker, Howl of the Rougarou, and The Bray Road Beast. And both of those movies spend a fair amount of time on like the legends and lore surrounding werewolves. And so we wanted to get out of that kind of stuff, the folklore side of things, and get back to what are people seeing and how does it affect them. and Heather can probably speak to that someday.
Well, yeah, that was about it. I mean, it's nice to hear the stories from the witnesses, and everything, I think, glows together really well without the narration, actually, between all the witnesses that we have and the experts that we talk to, and the people that listen to your show may see some familiar faces, hear some familiar voices.
So, Jason, you're in this?
Well, no, I was in the hospital when you guys were filming that. But I've seen the preview so far, and I love it. I can't wait to see it.
Well, I'm excited to see it for various reasons, but I do like the idea of how you filmed it. I'm really a big fan of Minerva Monster. Really enjoyed that style of film when you just get to hear the witnesses tell their story. Sometimes I get distracted by the narration, I guess. And I just want to hear the stories. So I'm excited to see some of the stories that come out. I'm pretty juiced.
If I can just real quick, speak to that, I'm actually in the same camp. Like, when it comes to the narration side of things, I love the narration we've had in our movies. And the people that narrate for us have always been amazing. But my favorite style of doc relies solely on the people in front of the camera to tell the story. It does make my life a lot easier as an editor to have a narrator, because they can kind of guide the storytelling in the way I need it to go. But in this case, it just made sense, since we were putting such a heavy focus on the witnesses. You didn't need, the story is the witness in this movie, and that's why, for me, it was exciting to get back to that.
I am super excited at the land between the lakes. Like, that, once, we had never heard of that we had Jody Cook on the show.
Right.
And he started talking about that story. And I know you guys went down there and did some investigation and talked to some people. Without giving too much away, what did you guys kind of come away from that thinking or believing, or did it just confuse you even more?
No, honestly, I've always heard a lot about Land Between the Lakes as far as people asking us to do something about it, but I'd never spent much time looking into the story or even the region. In fact, in all honesty, I had no idea that existed, like that area and how it looks, and that kind of thing. So to get to go there, it was kind of like discovering it for myself for the first time. I came away with a really weird vibe out of that place. Not just like, oh, this is spooky or whatever, but there's something going on there. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's Dogman or something related to Bigfoot. I know there's Bigfoot activity there, but there's, the witnesses, the people we spoke to there about the area, the history of the area is really weird. You've got these Dogman legends there that kind of date all the way back to the first people to settle the area. You've got stories about law enforcement and park officials trying to cover something up. I'm not in the coordinated massive conspiracy camp, but to me it seems like they don't quite understand what they're dealing with, and so they want to try to keep it as under the radar as possible. But it's a weird place, and the stuff that goes on there is a lot bigger than just a few sightings of Bigfoot in the woods, which you would expect in an isolated rural park like that. It seems like there's more going on there, and I think I can't necessarily state this with any definitive bent, but I think we will be back at some point to really do. To me, this is like opening the first chapter of a book. It's the back half of the movie that kind of focuses on Land Between the Lakes, and to me, I think there's a lot more for us to get into. And I'm excited to do it because I think there's more to the story than what we cover in this movie. But I think the movie, it begins in Ohio and ends in Kentucky and Land Between the Lakes for a reason. Like there's a lot more to that we want to get into.
I was gonna ask while you were talking about it. It certainly sounds like that could be a show all by itself. Yeah.
Well, it resonates with me a little bit like the killer Bigfoot legend from Port Chatham Bay up there in Alaska, where they have this cannery and these indigenous people there, and they're doing the cannery, and they suddenly 30 people get murdered and they all bolt. And so, kind of a similar type. Is it an urban legend? Is it not an urban legend? Do people really get killed? Do they not really get killed? That's the thing I'm interested in seeing if you guys put your finger on that pole.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, we stopped somewhere, so people are getting out. So if there's more,
that's okay.
Hold on.
Yeah, listen. This is real life.
This is real in the moment. We're in the field.
That's right.
I would say so. Port Chatham. I mean,
how we get to Port Chatham?
The judge just started, or was that Shane? Someone started.
No, it was the judge, and you guys were in Alaska.
Yeah, right? Yeah, we were within an hour boat ride of Port Chatham, and we did kind of find that, you know, there's probably as much about like legend. There's probably as much in the way of legend relating to that as there is anything. But at this point now, just back what we do. So I would say there might be more going on in Land Between the Lakes, than Port Chatham, because we were there definitely were like Bigfoot sightings in Port Chatham, but here there's a history that dates back pretty far, and then there's still modern activity taking place, and there's much more going on in Land Between the Lakes than meets the eye, you know, whether it's the suspected government cover-up stuff or the dog man, and you know, and Elijah Henderson was kind of our guy when it came to Land Between the Lakes as far as like walking us through the history of the area, but I have friends now that I know spend a lot of time in there who've had really weird run-ins with like park officials who basically told them like, you know, we're don't talk about this. Like if they encounter something, it's like, don't even speak about it. So I know that that is a thing there. And again, I don't fall into the conspiracy camp typically, but definitely that is a running theme when it comes to Land Between the Lakes with the history of the park and strange activity there.
Well, if you Google Earth it and you just look at the topography and lay that, my gosh, that's just like ripe for something, some cryptic, you know, war going on between Bigfoot and Dogman. It just looks like the perfect, like, drawn battle lines.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Yeah, well, I mean, interestingly enough, our movie kind of dips its toe into that topic. One of our witnesses, I mean, the witness we kind of wrap up the movie with, he had an encounter in there that kind of speaks to that. I don't want to get too deep into it, but I mean, the story is really, it was really shocking. And then, you know, to actually get to see him, because I know, I think he might have been on a podcast or something here and there.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. Whatever. Either way, to actually hear him tell the story to us is eye-opening because it clearly affected him in such a huge way.
So now you said this is the third project that you've done around Dogman / werewolves.
Lugaroo.
So you have a pretty qualified opinion, I would say. You've talked to a lot of eyewitnesses. You've been to places where these sightings have happened. I'm going to assume you have not had your own Dogman sighting, although you are full of surprises.
Yeah, I've had 30 Dogman sightings. No, I haven't. I have not yet. I have not yet had a sighting for myself. And this is also one of those cryptids that I think are pretty squarely in the paranormal camp rather than a cryptozoological one.
That's what I was going to kind of ask is, like, you don't think we're actually dealing with the tried true old story of a werewolf of a person
metamorphosing under the full moon?
I mean, God, I hope so, because that would be really cool. But no, I don't. I don't think we're dealing with that. I also don't think we're dealing with like some sort of undiscovered species of dogmen that roam North America. I don't really buy into that. I think there's too much that connects this thing to the supernatural to think that this is like a tried and true flesh and blood cryptid. You know, like I just think it gets too weird too quick for me to go that route.
So obviously after we talked with Linda Godfrey, that was kind of sort of the watershed moment in our perspective as to what we think is going on with Dogman. And obviously we've talked about all that on several shows with Indian Burial Grounds and stuff. So interesting to get your perspective now that you've talked to how many witnesses and got their take on there.
Yep. So I want to ask, because I know Heather would probably send you some really crazy places, especially since she's a firm believer in the Jersey Devil.
Yeah.
So I'll ask both of you, Seth, what is the one thing that you have not investigated or done a documentary on that you would like to? And Heather, what, same for you, what would you like the Small Town Monsters crew to go out and do that is going to probably take some real arm twisting?
I mean, the thing is, Jersey Devil kept being my answer, so now I don't know. We really want to do something on the Hopkinsville Goblins at some point. you know, that, yeah. that like yep. Benjamin Hoff Yesta's method. But like, I don't know. I wanna do something about the Hawkinsville Goblins. Dover Demon would be fun. Down the road.
What about subterranean lizards living in the sewers in like Los Angeles?
Yeah, that's when we're hitting that, you know, we have reached the rock bottom. Like we're done.
Hey, that's what put it out there.
Because that's kind of like that's where Monster Quest went downhill. So if
that's
we
when
start,
it jumped the shark.
Yeah, if we start heading in that direction, you guys might as well jump off the train because we've reached the final destination.
Oh, I don't know, man. It seems pretty plausible.
So Heather, what would your answer to that be?
So, Wendigo would be a good one to cover at some point.
Ooh, yeah.
And,
yes. Very good.
Goatman stuff. But that's because both of those terrify me. But
yes,
Wendigo
I still,
first.
For all of our loyal, I think I put something up on Goatman on our Instagram here. And I just can't get over the fact that I think Chris Hahn, our buddy Chris Hahn, would be the perfect actor to play the Goatman in a horror movie.
Hey. Grover and I started working on a script that would involve Chris Hahn playing the Goat Man.
Yes, but nobody wants to hear
it. It was a homage to the 80s slasher movies.
Oh my God. Chris Hahn's like, please make it. I need a job.
Yes.
Anyway. So I got sucked into after we did the. After you came and did the filming for the American Werewolves, I got sucked into the YouTube channel that you guys have in the Bigfoot stuff that you guys were doing on Heather. I think it's your family's property.
Yeah.
When is that going to, like, are you guys going to start doing that again this summer?
Oh, we actually just dropped an episode. It literally just went up on Sunday. I think it was. We had Cliff Barrickman out there, and so that's the new episode just dropped. But yeah, it's hard to keep up with it because for one thing, we don't want to just make a show where nothing ever happens. And to be honest with you, like from November through, you know, now,
yeah,
there has been no activity out there that we can definitively be like, oh, this is definitely something, you know, like there's no sounds, there's no wood knocks, none of the stuff we experienced through the first three episodes, especially. You know, we found there's been some weird stuff that happened, but nothing super crazy. So there was a month period or 2 months even where we didn't film at all. And then we went out there with Cliff literally 2 days before we left for Alaska and shot. For 2 days out there with him, and that episode just dropped on Sunday. So go check it out.
I will as soon as I watch the final Obi-Wan Kenobi, and I will.
Grover and I actually years ago were doing some investigations of the melon heads sightings, and we realized Grover just saw his reflection.
Yeah, it was terribly disappointing.
brutal.
Oh my gosh. And I had a legitimate question. You just ruined it. I mean,
to make a great documentary. More of an autobiography.
Well, because the reason that got me hooked is when we were at our farm and we start walking in the woods and we had already had you on our show probably a year or two earlier, and you weren't really, at that point in time, you hadn't really had a experience of your own, I believe, that you really, you know, you were just more of a, you liked the subject matter, and you wanted to explore it, and that's why you were doing these great films, documentaries and stuff, and so as we start walking in the woods, Seth turns to me and goes, you know, I saw one. I'm like,
did I say
what do you mean?
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah, you did.
You know I saw one.
You know I saw one. I'm like, what do you mean you saw? I saw Bigfoot.
I was like, what, you tell me now as we're walking into the woods that you've seen this? And so it was that I couldn't wait to see on the YouTube series when it got to that. And your reaction, because you're pretty laid back. I mean, at least in my interactions with you, Heather sounds like she's snickering. But you don't seem excitable. And your reaction when...
He's a modern-day Perry Como.
Your reaction to seeing this thing up on the hill, I mean, you jumped off the gator. And I was like, start running towards it.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know what to do because... Like, when I... It's hard to replay that moment, too, because, like, it seems so absurd now. But at the time, I think I was just thinking, if I ran, I could get up the hill and catch it taking off into the woods. But I, you know, like the problem was there was this brush that was
briars
and
waist high.
Yeah, it was too high. And then once I hit that, there was nowhere I could go. And then the biggest problem was when I jumped out of the gator was going still pretty fast because I said stop and dove out as there was no moment. There was no like pause. I didn't say stop and then wait a second. I just said stop, but I had already jumped as I was saying the word stop. And when I hit the ground, we were on a decline and I'm running down the decline. So I'm also doing that goofy thing like the Roadrunner's legs or whatever, where your arms are like floundering around in front of you while you're trying to run. And it's lucky I didn't break my leg, because like if I jumped out wrong or twisted my ankle or something, there's holes all over there. It would have been pretty bad. But yeah, it was a weird moment. You know what's strange about it too is like it's not emotional. The night before was genuinely emotional actually, because like Heather and I were out there. And there was so much happening at once that actually was moved. That probably moved me further on the belief scale than even seeing one, because so much happened in such a short span of time, and there was nothing else that could account for what we were hearing. The footsteps running, the rocks being thrown, the wood knocks, like all that stuff going off at once. In an area that still makes no sense today, like that was bizarre. But that whole weekend, like you know, and then we didn't match it. But the next weekend the next time we went out was pretty comparable, because we had rocks thrown at Mark and I. We found a track on the hill outside the cabin, and that was November, October.
Yeah. September, October, somewhere.
Yeah, that was October too. So,
Before hunting season is the key here. Once hunting season started, everything stopped.
Yeah, hunting season have been the key. And then, you know, there's no leaf canopy there. Obviously, there's nowhere for them to go because it's patchy woods where we are. But in the most recent episode, we kind of talk about that, like how little sense it makes that they're there at all. Or they were. I mean, my biggest fear right now is they won't be back.
That you guys kind of spooked them away? Or?
No, that it was just maybe they had been moving through the area and they happened upon that property that those few months and they won't be back. But I don't think that's the case. In Minerva, sightings traditionally kick up in August and they carry through to about October. In the Minerva area, that's how the Catons sightings of the Minerva Monster went. That's how anytime I hear from people out there who have like sustained activity, it's that span of time. And so
no, I don't have a full understanding of animal husbandry,
uh-huh.
But do you think it has anything to do with sightings with breeding seasons and things like that? Because you think about deer, we see lots of deer when the bucks are chasing does and stuff like that. We see, I see more activity during that period of time. than any other. So
it's possible. We've theorized about everything at this point. There's corn there. There's cornfields there. You know, like that kind of aligned to some degree with like corn growing and that kind of stuff. There's, you know, there's the idea that they liked it because there weren't people around. They liked that area because there aren't people on that property. And when the undergrowth goes away, when the leaf canopy drops, they head out to other area, more dense,
deeper woods.
And it's like one of those things where the more we go out there and the more time we spend out there, the more you theorize about what's going on because you're trying to make sense of it. Because we've experienced things there. We found things there that are really weird. We found this, like a full-blown cow pelvis just kind of sitting in a tree.
Yeah.
And things like this, like things that don't make sense.
I can tell you from having a farm and having cattle on it that those don't just end up in trees.
I'll tell our YouTube commenters that, please.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, listen, we got a couple YouTube commenters we'll send your way, and I'll take care of the people with my stuff. Jeez. Well, we don't, I know you guys are in the middle of working, essentially, and the judge and I and Jason, we're just lounging around. So we'll let you guys get going, but I want you guys to let everybody know, give them the details about where they can find American Werewolves, where they can find the YouTube stuff, because I strongly encourage everybody to go check out your stuff on YouTube. Because, I mean, you could spend a month going through all the stuff. I don't even know how you guys have time to sleep or eat. There's so much content on it.
Yeah, definitely check out the Small Town Monsters YouTube channel. And so American Werewolves comes out July 5th, and you can pre-order it right now on iTunes. It might be available now for pre-order on Amazon. It should be in the next couple of days if it isn't yet. But it'll be available on most of the major like VOD platforms on July 5th, or you can get it on Blu-ray and DVD.
Those pre-orders are open on our website.
Pre-orders for those are up. I don't know what else.
SmallTownMonsters.com.
SmallTownMonsters.com. And the Monster Fest, our event we're doing next year in Canton, Ohio, with a bunch of guests we've announced, and we have a bunch more. In fact, a really huge guest.
Do you just want to go ahead and tell everybody that we're going to be there? Or do you want to wait?
Were we the really big guest?
Yeah, that's why. That was exactly what I meant.
Yeah. We're going to be taking tickets at the door. We just don't know. We're going to be actually working Monster Fest.
You're going to be the usher. I'm going to be the guy operating the punch bowl.
But we do. We're debating on whether that is going to be our official first like public event. Not that there's a big clamoring for it or anything, but that's going to be our first. But we might hold off and not do anything between now and then, and just make it a big deal, and like maybe five people will show up.
Launch into our European tour.
At
least 100 people in Europe will listen to us. So
I think you guys should do that. Don't hold off until Monster Fest 2023, and then we'll lay out the red carpet.
All right. Well, yeah. I mean, if that's what we got to do to get some red carpet treatment, I guess. I mean, I can't compete with Ben Franklin and the Jersey Devil, but
none of us can.
Well, hey,
just make sure we get a better seat than Stacey Brown.
God, you had to make another Stacey Brown.
We'll bring the candy cigarettes.
There you go.
Cigarettes. Thanks,
Dan. Well, hey, you guys keep doing what you're doing because it's great. And I hope everybody goes and checks out your Small Town Monsters YouTube channel and go watch American Werewolves. And I guarantee that at least part of it is going to be riveting.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
But I'm sure all of it will be. So,
thanks,
so hey. Hey, thanks for joining. Hey, and don't get any trouble out there in the Pine Barrens, okay?
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out.